I'm talking to you today about the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John is an interesting book, and we're going through a brand new series entitled Indeed. The book of 1 John is unique because it was written in the year 85 AD and 95 AD, somewhere thereabouts. The significance of those dates is that Christianity was no longer at its infancy. From the book of Acts, Jesus had resurrected, and the church has begun, and the timeline has moved. And now the church has progressed along. John starts to write this letter to the church. This letter is unique because, unlike other letters that we find in the Bible that are addressed to specific churches and specific people, this letter is addressed to the body of Christ at large. The reason being, for the beginning of Christianity, the battle was against Pharisaism. In other words, this idea that you become saved by works. In other words, the way you become born again, the way you get eternal life, the way you live forever, is you do it by works. And that's the way the Pharisees taught it. And so Christianity was the exact opposite of that. You're not saved by works. You're not saved by the things you do. You're saved by grace. As the church forwarded a different seed and a different deception, and a different lie started to permeate the church. It was called Gnosticism. Gnosticism believed that this idea of being a Christian, it confessed Jesus as Savior. It confessed that Jesus is a great person, but salvation was not coming from Jesus. It was coming from having a gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S, or to know something. That if you have a special type of revelation, on the basis of that knowledge and belief, you will be saved. The Apostle John, at this point, is probably in his 90s. He's old. He's one of the remaining apostles. And if you go home tonight and read the book of 1 John chapter 1, you will find John speaking about being an eyewitness to all that Jesus did and all that he heard. And he was going to try and teach the church, warning them about the seeds of Gnosticism. This idea that if you believe in something, regardless of whether you follow the moral word of God and lived in immorality and darkness, you would still be saved. And said, that's a dangerous thing. And that might actually warp the church, if what wipe out the very essence of what Jesus came to do for us. So we're going to go through a series, beginning in chapter 1, verse 5. I'm going to lay a foundation for the next 4 weeks. I write these things to you who believe. He's talking to believers. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's not talking to people who are not followers of Jesus. He's actually talking to people like you and me. In the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. That you would be certain, that you would be indeed. When you said, are you saved? Your response is, indeed. I'm certain. I'm sure. I've got the deed. I've got the paperwork to prove to you. I'm certain. I'm sure. There is no shadow. There is no doubt in me that I'm saved. And the goal of these next 4 weeks is to bring you to that place of certainty. To know that I have eternal life. That's the goal. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to unpack the book of 1 John to bring revelation to this truth. Now, this first week, we're going to talk about John's first declaration that he says, God is light. There are not many, many verses in the Bible that reference God is. There's God is holy, God is love. And there is this verse that says in 1 John chapter 1 verse 5, God is light. Essentially, God is full of light. You cannot, there is no shade of darkness in God. There is no dimness in God. There is no lack of clarity with God. Everything that is about God is light. He says, the message that we have heard from him and declared to you, God is light. He was warning the church. If Gnosticism resides in the church, in the hearts and minds of the believers, if they think that by special revelation, by special understanding, by mere theology, by belief, I would be saved, which is not a bad thing. Christianity is a belief system, but it goes beyond just a belief system. He was warning them, be careful, guys. That's not good. And it's a good moment to talk about this in light of everybody listening to podcasts and hearing different things about Christianity and different revelations. A lot of them are good. Just be careful to think that just because I believe, I'm okay. He says, how can you be sure? He says, God is light. In Him, there is no darkness at all. Genesis chapter 1 verse 3 is an interesting verse where it says, and God said, this is the very first chapter of the entire Bible. Verse 3 says, God says, let there be light. Long before God made mankind, long before God made animals and plants and dinosaurs and birds and trees and planets, His first declaration was to create an atmosphere of life. There needed to be light. Where there is light, there's life. And if you want to have more life, you need more light. You take light away from our world and we're going to be in trouble. And the very first thing He does, the very first act of creation, He declares, let there be light. His presence, His atmosphere. You're not able to live the life that He had ordained for us to live. There was this matter of light that had to be present in our lives. Jesus, in John chapter 8 verse 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, He said, I am the light of the world. I'm not just your Savior. I'm not just God. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. And here's the point that John was bringing up. If you are walking in darkness and claiming to be a Christian, there's something wrong with your claim. Are you here? Yes. If you are walking in darkness and you're not living in the purity and holiness of God, there's something wrong with this belief system that you're propagating. This is what John is not the theologian that Paul is. He was not the smart guy that could weave sentences and do the legal stuff. He was just going to bare bones, flat out, here's reality, boys. Regardless of what you say and how well you explain it, if you're not walking in the light, we have a big problem here. Hate to blow your bubbles. I know a lot of you listen to different kinds of messages. Be careful. It's not just belief. It's walking in the light. He says you will never, everybody say never, walk again in darkness. If you're truly walking in the light, there's some videos that you shouldn't be watching. If you're a married man and you're committing adultery and you're thinking that you're going to have eternal life, you need to email me. You and I need to sit down. That's not Christianity. That's not church. If you're a boss and you're treating your employees as slaves, I don't think that's the light of God. Are you still with me? Let's be careful about this. He's saying, let's be careful about this first generation church. If you miss this, we're gonna export something down the tube that's the wrong thing. There's nothing wrong with believing that we're saved by grace, but the totality of Scripture and the totality of the gospel goes beyond just belief into actual life. But we'll have the light of life, he says. Interesting how light and life come together. The more life you have in Christ, the more light you have. The more light you have in Christ, the more life you have. The more life you have in Christ, the more light you have. In other words, you cannot do away with light and life. If you're saying that I am in Christ, light and life come together in a package. It's a dangerous thing. He was addressing this Gnostic idea, this seed, which you can actually confess. I believe in Jesus Christ, the Father Almighty. I believe in the church. You can say all of that. If it's not translating to walking in the light, we have a problem. Yeah. Revelation chapter 2 verse 5, there will be no more night. there will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord will give them light. Interesting. From Genesis to Jesus to Revelation, the idea of God is light. The church needs to understand this. Now, back to 1 John verse 6. If we claim, if we're saying we have fellowship with God and yet walk in darkness, we have a serious problem. I love how John puts it. Now, there's not much. He doesn't do a lot of the Paul type of explanation. He's just right out there. If we claim, if you're saying you have fellowship with God, but you're walking in darkness, you're doing stuff you shouldn't be doing, you're lying. And the truth is not in us. We're deceived. We've got this belief that's not translating into life and light. We've got a serious problem here. You don't have eternal life. You still with me? If you claim I'm walking with God, okay? And God is what? Light. How many of you know if you walk with light, light that bright, not this bright, the light that you cannot even comprehend and look at, if you claim that you're walking with this light, how many of you know there's no darkness? If you're in darkness and you claim I'm in fellowship with God and I have eternal life, how many of you know that something's wrong? Is that simple enough? If you claim I've got eternal life because I have a relationship with Jesus, but you're walking in darkness, but Jesus is light, and he's the light of the world, and he's the light who lives in you, and he's the atmosphere for you to have life, something's wrong. Something's very wrong. Something has to change. If you're walking in the light exposes the darkness. And when you see something dark, if you were a woman and you flashed the light in your face and you saw a blemish, of course you're going to cover that up. Hello? You're going to fix it. That's what I meant. For you were once, Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8, you were once darkness. You and I had a conversation with a man who found out I was going to be in Brisbane. And he was a nurse. He was a Filipino nurse, and he doesn't go to our church, but he listens to my podcasts on my website. And he had sent me a message and said, I know that you're speaking at this conference. I'm going to be there. Could you make time for me? And I said, I'll make time for you. And I sat down with him and said, you know, I really want to preach the Word of God. And you know, in Australia, we don't have maids, we don't have, you know, we do everything. But I've had small groups in different places of the city because I just love Jesus. And then he said, and I asked him, are you a pastor? He said, I'm not a pastor, I just really love Jesus. I just want to bring the gospel to all these people here. And then he asked me this, how did you become a pastor? And for a while, I didn't know what to tell him because if I explained to him who I am, and the darkness that I came from, we're going to be there for a long time. And so I started to tell him my background, my history, and just reminding myself of the darkness. I was once in darkness. But I got born again. I got saved. The light of Jesus came inside of me. And when the light came inside of me, I have the light of the Lord. I understood that basic premise. I didn't have a lot of the theological understanding. I just knew that the light of God came inside of me. I got born again. And then Paul says, if you are born again, then live as the children of light. Make it a lifestyle that you're always in the light. Make it a lifestyle that you're always seeking the light. We can't just make this, it's interesting, and if you're Aussie, I love you. I just came from there. I want to see that continent reached. But here's the danger. When it all becomes just about music and nice preaching, we're in trouble, folks. The church is not just that. The church is the light of the world. We are the light. He says, you are like the light of the world. You're supposed to be raised up, and the light should brighten places. And if we're not being that light, we're in trouble. The church is in trouble. I'm not saying that we are. I'm just saying that we are not being the light. I think we are. I'm just reminding all of us, let's be careful about this idea that just my belief system is enough. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. At some point, light produces fruit. At some point, if I were really walking in the truth and the light of Jesus, it will produce goodness. It cannot produce bad. It just can't. It cannot produce unrighteousness. It cannot produce deception and a lie. And find out what pleases the Lord. Now, how do we do this? How do I begin to, if I really wanted to walk in the light, I've got three simple points for you. One is a lifestyle of change. How do you walk in the light progressively? If you see darkness, keep changing and moving toward the light. It's just a lifestyle of change. Constantly changing your mind, renewing your mind, constantly asking God, God, what is the next step here? If I'm thinking wrong, God, change it, illuminate me. I saw this picture of this shadow, and if you have light at the back, you're going to have a shadow in front of you. And when you look at a shadow is a representation of you, but it's an incomplete representation of you. There's no nose, there's no ears, there's no eyes, there's no mouth, there's nothing you can see. So you could be in the light, but you're not facing the light. And so what happens is you got this big shadow when you don't have the fullness of the truth that God wants to show you. One of the things you need to do is just face the light. Face the reality of who you are. Renew your mind and change your ways. With all the trips that I've been doing, when I got back, I just sat down and read the Ten Commandments all over again. I just read the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. And I thought, I think that's fair. I think I don't have any other gods except Jesus. He's the Lord of my life. You shall not have an idol for yourself. You shall not make an idol. And I thought, I think I've got a few idols, if I may confess. And it's like, it's not a full-blown idol. It's just sometimes you realize your mind's not fully there. You start thinking, wow, that was a great message. Wow, I wrote that book. And I said, Lord, I want to change that. I don't want to think that way. I want to keep realizing I'm not the light, you're the light, and I'm just a mirror that beams your light. It can't be about me, it's about you. And folks, if you stand in the light, it's not easy when you stand in the light. And you start realizing, I think these things. But standing in the light is dealing with these things. And saying, God, I can't think this way. I don't want to be just a shadow. I don't want to just have a little representation of you. I want the fullness of you. Your light inside of me. Change your mind. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet. Get that word. How many of you read your Bible every day? And it is not works. The Bible is the light of God. The more you read that, I was reading the third verse. Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And I paused there. I really did. I sat there for a good 15, 20 minutes. Lord, have I used your name in vain? Have I used your name to benefit me? Have I used your name so that I could get things? You hear? Because I want to change my mind. I want to change my heart. I don't want to just... I've been a Christian for 30 years. I don't want to settle. I don't want to think that I've done it all. I want to keep moving toward the light. And then it said, honor the Sabbath day. Oops. And then I started to realize, wait a minute, I've been traveling so much. And I started to ask myself, how much time did I spend resting? I actually got so convicted, I sat down with our maids and I tell them, do you guys do your Sabbath? I started to tell them, the Sabbath is important. I think I did that because I was getting convicted myself. But it's good to let the lamp of God shine on you, the Word of God. It says, by your Word, the Word of God is a lamp unto your feet. I pray that you sit there and you read that Word. You confess that Word. You ask God, God, what are you showing me? And finally, the fifth commandment, I got to the fifth commandment. I stopped there. Honor your father and your mother. Oops. I thank God because my parents just moved into my house. My father is 84 years old. My mother is 82 years old. And they just moved into my house. But you know, they live downstairs and I live upstairs. But honor your father and mother. So over lunch, I sat there and for 2 hours, I was just listening to my mother. How many of you know the word is a lamp into your feet? My mom is probably listening to this message now. Say, oh, that's what that was about. That's the reason why you were. But the light of God convicts you. My mom is at home right now watching me, listening to this video cast. But the reality is, the light of light convicts you. And I started listening to her. And the more I listened to her, I started ministering to her. I pray that we as a people don't just say that we've got a lifestyle. We've got to change our minds sometimes. We've got to change our motivation. Our motives have to be not just what is the thing that I'm drawn to. What's the pinnacle of what all this? Is this just all about success, ministry, money? If I had all the money in the world, God, I'll really help build your building. Or what is it? God, you are light. You are what I seek. You are my motivation. You are my reason for living. I want to reflect your light. I want to bring your light to the ends of the world. Regardless of what I do, whether I'm a businessman, whether I'm a teacher, whether I'm a housewife, whatever it is you're doing, that your motivation for life is, God, I want your light. And I want to be a light to the world. Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. Consider how far you've fallen. He's talking to the church here, guys. Repent and do the things you did first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your light. This is the church. And sometimes what happens is we've got this notion, if I could just believe this. No, he's saying, I'm going to remove your lampstand. Because you're not functioning the way you should be. A light to the world. And finally, a change of direction. That you're constantly seeing the light and saying, God, if I'm whatever shade of darkness I'm in, God, I'm heading for the light. I'm going there. Clarifying things. Changing things. Change. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7, but we walk in the light as he says. Here's the apostle John is saying, number one, this whole lifestyle of willing to renew and change things. That as the light shines upon you, I'm willing to give up turf and change. In verse 7 he says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. He's saying, if we're walking in the light as he is in the light, the result of that is we will end up in fellowship with one another. And I'm concerned, he's basically telling the church, I'm concerned that if this is just about knowledge, if this is just about gnosis, then what's going to happen is you're going to come to church, you're going to have your little buzz, you're going to enjoy what you heard, and you're going to leave thinking all is well. And what he's saying, no. If you are walking in the light, you're going to build community. I just told the Treston service earlier today, I said, I'm ramping off from here because Pastor Paulo is taking over here because Pastor Paulo is letting go of one of his services, the 8 o'clock service for Pastor Patrick to take over. And I want to explain that to you a little bit. As a church, we are constantly trying to make the church small. We could have built a building for 6,000 people. We didn't. We argued over this. We did. As an apostolic team, we said, we're not building any, because if we lose the sense of community, we will lose the church. People will come to church for the music. People will come to church for the preaching. And if there's better music and better preaching somewhere else, they're just going to go there. And what's going to happen is what's happening to countries in the West right now. People are just jumping from one church to the other. There's no community. Here's another bat for small groups. Hello. If we lose the essence of community, the church is a community. It's a place for people to come together, to love each other, to share one another's burdens, to carry one another's burdens, to pray for one another. I remember my son, I just saw at the corner of my eye, one of my sons is here. And I remember when my kids were graduating from high school. You know how high school graduations look like, right? They all throw their togas up in the air and everybody starts crying. Oh, I'm going to miss you. Oh, my BFF. You know what I'm saying? I mean, all of you, how many of you know that we don't have college reunions, we have high school reunions? Because our high schools become our community. It's the place where we're accepted, where people are available to us, where we're affirmed. Every time you go to your high school reunion, you talk about the exact same jokes. Exact same thing, but you all like it because you feel affirmed. Oh, you all remember all these stories because you feel accepted. And I was watching my kids when they graduated in high school, and everybody's crying. And this is three of my sons did this. I thought, something's weird about my children. Because every time the graduation hit, all the kids would be crying, and my kids would go like this. And they were wondering why everybody was crying. And I thought, it must be their mother or something. Then it dawned on me, the reason why that happened to them was because to the other kids, that was community. To my kids, this is community. Their best friends. The people that they summered with. The people they ran with. Their close associates. They've been here for 20 years. They grew up here. They saw people. They fell. They stood up. They have friends that they can trust. Friends who love them. It's not a pseudo community. It's a real community. That's why they weren't looking for it. That's why they weren't feeling bad about it, because they knew it. If the church loses the essence of community, folks, the church will be in trouble. It'll just be a place where people go to listen to a nice message. I'm here to tell you, you need people around you. By the way, this word community is used in the Bible 87 times in about 84 verses. Of the 87 times, if you go to your computer tonight and type the word community in your Bible, it will show that every word that the word community is used in the Old Testament. And only one time is the word community used in the New Testament. It's in reference to the Jewish community persecuting the church. The reason why the word community disappeared in the New Testament was because it was replaced by a different word. The Greek word was the word ecclesia, or church. The church, John was telling this young church, he was trying to tell him, listen, church is not just about belief. Church is community. If you lose that sense of community, you're going to be in trouble. Because that's not the reason why churches are there for. 1 John chapter 2, verse 9, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother or sister is still in darkness. He says, anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates his brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they're going because the darkness has blinded them. Community is a prerequisite to church. It's actually part and parcel of the culture of church. I was in a party last night. I believe their family is here today. I was invited to the party of Renzi Crespo, who is one of our small group leaders, one of our volunteers. And around that room, her children actually threw this party. It was a surprise party for her. I don't know how they got her to dress like that. I think she said there was an event, and she showed up there. She's the girl on the right, by the way. The girl on the left is one of the small group members in her group, and she was giving her a frame of a picture. And one after the other, daughters, husband, neighbors, high school classmate, friends, repeatedly, every word, God, the Lord, light of God, generosity of God, I see it in her life. Community. Amazing moment. I'm reading a book right now entitled Bowling Alone. It's written by this expert on sociology, who's done all these studies about communities and why America is losing ground. And records a history of how America was built by communities and churches. Bowling associations, civic clubs, and all emanating from this belief that life, we are now living in the world. He explains it. I wish I could do justice to the book. He explains how we're now looking after comfort, convenience, money. And he said that's not what built America. What built America were communities emanating from churches. This guy's not even a believer. And I don't know if he's a believer. But I quote to you a page from his book. The individual, this was written in 1916. And he says, the individual is helpless socially if left to himself. If he comes into contact with his neighbor and they with other neighbors, they will be an accumulation of social capital. You would have thought that this is the prediction of Facebook. He goes on, which may immediately satisfy his social needs and which may bear a social potentiality sufficient to substantial improvement of living conditions in the whole community. Community is built as people start reaching each other, loving each other. And folks, the church is the beginning point of that. The community as a whole will benefit by the cooperation of all its parts, while the individual will find his associations the advantages of the help, sympathy, and the fellowship of his neighbors. Folks, that's who we are. John was warning the church, be careful. This is not just about you knowing things and coming here and assuaging your guilt and lifting up your hands and having a great 90-minute experience. It's beyond that. The church is a community. The church is ecclesia. Now, as I try and land this message, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's talking about walking in the light. What does that look like? A lifestyle of change, a lifestyle of community, a lifestyle of walking together with others. I first came to Victory 28 years ago. Victory celebrates 30 years this year. And when I look at what benefits I've gotten, not from just being ministered to, friends and relations, prayer partners through the years. Can't go anywhere in the world where they don't have a Christian friend anymore. It's because I learned that Christianity is not just a belief, it's a community. Literally, I mean, I'm not even exaggerating. Probably the only place I can go to where I don't have a Christian friend is in the North Pole and the South Pole. It's because when we live to build community, community will come to us. I love the saying that if you don't go to people's funerals, no one will go to yours. And the more you hang out with people, the more you be with people, the more you commune with people. That was John was warning the church. Be careful, guys. This is not just about belief. If we confess our sins, he says he is faithful and just to forgive us. This idea of confessing our sins. First, a lifestyle of change. If you're walking in the light, that's what it means. Constantly changing and repenting and turning away. Second, a lifestyle of community. And thirdly, he says, a lifestyle of confessing our sins. And he says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Confession. Something that happens when every time the light hits you, every time you walk into the presence of God's light, there's that ability to say, God, I'm just confessing my sins before you. Verse 10, if we claim, here's an important thing here. He says, if we claim that we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar. And the truth is not in us. Verse 21, my dear children, here's John saying, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. Get this. He says, I'm writing this to you so that you guys will not sin. But if you do sin, which all of us will at some point, in other words, he's saying, You don't strive for this. In other words, if the light of God is in you, I write this to you so that you realize the lifestyle has to change. You can't walk in darkness. If there's selfishness, you've got to do away with that. If there's issues in your life, you've got to do away with that. But if you do sin, which all of us know we will at one point, we still have an advocate with the Father. We still appropriate the grace of God. We're still running to the righteous one. Still not by works. But the pattern of our life has to change, he's saying. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the whole world. the end of the day, Jesus is still the center. And John was clarifying to the church, be careful. Be careful of the seeds of Gnosticism. The idea that by special revelation, I can live a licentious life just because of what I believe, rather than believing what I believe, and as a result of that, transforming, changing my life, building community, walking a life of confession, admitting to my mistakes so that I can change and repent and walk in the light further with God. Amen? You stand on your feet as we close in the word of prayer. Just close your eyes for a minute. Bow your heads. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, oh God. I just pray for your church, God. Father, that we, even as the Apostle John warned us, to walk in the light. God, may we receive that truth even today. Can you look up here for a minute? Here's how I see what happens to me. A little temptation. I start hiding in the dark. Because of shame, because of guilt. It's kind of like the thief who's running from the searchlights because he's running out of prison. And the searchlight is looking. God's searchlight will find you. So don't run anymore. And then so you walk a little backwards. And then you stop being in community. I don't want to go to small group. I don't want to go to church. It's just the same old thing. Raise my hand, sing. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to hang out with people. The purpose is to pray with the more. You know, I've just graduated from the idea of judging people based on their race, their color, their looks, their background, their speaking ability. I've just graduated from that. And some of you, you need to hear this. You look at someone and you judge me. I already know this guy. There's no time. You know what? I found you spend time with somebody. The guy who drove my wife and I from the airport at 3 o'clock in the morning to take a flight at 6 o'clock in the morning in New Zealand in freezing weather was a wonderful man. He was one of our church members in the Malati church. He moved to New Zealand. He says, Pastor, the church here is growing and they're beginning to slowly understand what discipleship is, relationship. I tell you, sometimes we as people, we're very quick to think that just because I already know what the Maori, I already know how Islanders think, I already know how Americans think, I already know how Germans think. I mean, listen, you have no clue who God's going to use in your life if you're just willing to build community. You have no clue of the ideas and the connections and the friendships and the prayers that these people will offer you and give you. We're losing it. The church is getting become two of this westernized idea. If I get just, I know the truth. I've heard that before. No. It's beyond that. It's being in this room, if only to be in this room, so you could be around people, touch people, bless people, pray for people, be blessed by others. Amen. I pray that that will resonate in your heart even today. Just close your eyes. If you're here today and you're saying, God, I want to walk in the light. I want to have a culture and a lifestyle of constant change, God. Changing from glory to glory. Going from one level of faith to the next. And God, I want to enter that place of receiving and building community with others. And Father, it's my desire that I will have a lifestyle of confession. Even as I walk in your light. Would you just lift up both your hands towards heaven today? God, I pray that you see our hearts. I thank you, Jesus, that you're working in our church. Lord, you're preserving the church. Lord, your desire is not for us to just have great ideas, great thoughts, be attractive, Lord, and run out and do our thing, God. We are the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. It's your desire, Father, that you use us as a mirror of your light to the world. And Father, I pray today, Lord, that we would receive this message. Seal this truth in each of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.